start your day the Torah way, Rabbi Ephraim Lewin.
Good morning, everyone. I thank Rabbi Menachem David and his team for once again inviting me here to this wonderful program of Start Your Day the Torah way. I wish it should go Michael and Chol and continue to be a very, very successful program. I stand here today because of a ness. Let me explain, and let me take you back a bit in time. In 1938, my grandfather, Zecharia Livracha, who was fondly known as Rabbi Arnold Levine, my father's father, escaped from Germany and he came to England. And he was here, he was in London for 2 years, and in 1940, the British decided that all the German refugees should be kicked out. And some were taken to the Isle of Wight. My grandfather was put on a boat and sent to Australia. The boat was called the Dunera, and the British were very nasty to them. They squashed in the bottom deck about 1,000 refugees. They confiscated all their suitcases, all their belongings from them. My grandfather told me that he was the only one. He managed to smuggle a pair of tefillin in his pocket, and all the yidden on the boat used his pair of tefillin. They were on the boat for about 6 weeks. They got to Australia, and they were there for some time, and then my grandfather was able to come back to England. About a third of the way through the journey, this British boat called the Dunera was spotted by a German U-boat, a German submarine. And the German submarine saw it's a British boat, it was the middle of the war, and they shot a torpedo. The torpedoes were like a missile that went underwater, and they were known to be 90% accurate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a ness, and as the torpedo was aiming for the ship was lifted up on a wave, and the torpedo went underneath, and it missed the ship. But the Germans, Yimach Shimon, didn't go away then. They waited to see if they'd hit the target. If not, they send another one. At just about that time, the British, who had taken all the suitcases and taken all the possessions, were going through all the possessions, stealing what they wanted. And they said, we have no use for these other possessions. And Mamish Rishus, they took the suitcases, the little bit of precious belongings that people had. What did they have? Some photos. What did they have already? And they threw the suitcases into the water. Now, the Germans thought they'd hit the boat because they saw all this cargo going in. They thought it was people jumping into the water because they'd hit the boat. But then they saw something very strange. The boat continued going. So they sent up a boat to see what was this, what they thought were the people. And they found out it's suitcases. They opened up and they found letters. And in which language were the letters written? In German. So they realized that there were Germans on board this British boat. So instead of torpedoing it again, they escorted it to safe waters to Australia. And the rest is history, and that's why I'm here today. Now, I want to tell you, they only found out this 40 years later. My grandfather told me in 1980, they found the diary of the German command of the U-boat, of this submarine. The Germans, we know, were very meticulous. They wrote everything down, and he recorded this. My grandfather and all the people on the boat knew nothing about this for 40 years. That means they traveled. They lost everything. The little bit they had of these, their photos and their possessions, were thrown into the water. Their lives were saved. They lost all their possessions. 40 years later, they realized that those suitcases being thrown into the water was by Emma's a hidden ness. It was a brocha. That was the brocha that saved their lives. Our parsha starts on the way back. Yes, so my grandfather told me on the way back they were court-martialed. Apparently the next boat was tucker shot, but that boat, my grandfather told me, the British, when it came back to England, the sailors were court-martialed, taken to court for the bad way they treated the passengers. Our parsha starts, Re'eh, see, Anochi, Noyseh Lefneichem Hayoyim, Brocha Uklala. Es HaBrocha, Asher tishmu al mitzvot Hashem aleikeichem. Hashem says, if you listen to Torah, you keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, I tell you, Hashem says, I will give you bracha. And the Torah uses a Lashon Re'eh, see. And I want to share with you why I think Re'eh could also mean see. That means like this, we have to be ma'amin, that even if we don't see the bracha straight away, but if we know that Hashem has promised and Hashem has said and that we're going to get the bracha if we keep the Torah mitzvahs, that bracha will come. It might not be an immediate bracha. You might not see the result straight away. My grandfather had to wait for 40 years till he saw the bracha. People wait longer, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asher tishmu al mitzvot Hashem, that you will get bracha, we have to be ma'amin that the bracha will come. And that brings me to share with you another story where we see the same thing. I heard this story some time ago. There was a plumber in Eretz Yisrael, a Heimish, a Yiddish plumber, and he was going about doing his job, and one day he gets a call from an almana, and she says she's got a leak in a pipe. So he goes to her apartment, her dira in Eretz Yisrael, in the Neibarak, and he realizes that it's not just a problem of a single leak. The pipework is so old, it's rotting, it's got many cracks in it, and really it needs a whole overhaul. It needs a whole new pipework. It needs 2 to 3 days of work. And he knew she didn't have a penny. So he did the work, he told her it needs a lot of work done, and he told her that he's been sent by the Iriya, by the council, want to redo the pipe work in the area, and so therefore she doesn't need to pay him anything. The council, he assured her, are paying him, which obviously they weren't, but this is what he told her. And for 3 days he worked and he changed the entire pipe work in her dira, in her flat, and he didn't charge her a penny. Fast forward about 18 years later, This plumber bought a plot of land because he wanted to build himself a new house, and he's found going cheaper plot of empty land, and he bought it and he was going to build himself his own house. So he went round to various construction companies for materials he had to purchase from, he's starting from scratch. So he went round just to get quotes, and he was very, very clear. He said, I'm coming here, all I want is a quote. This is the amount of material of cement and bricks and he had a whole list of things he wanted. He wanted to get a good deal like we all do. And he went to various companies to get quotes. Not long after this, he's on the site where the plot of land he's bought, and a truck rolls up. And the truck starts unloading bricks and some bags of cement and all. And he says, hello, who are you? What are you doing? Oh, I'm from such and such a company. He says, I haven't ordered anything from your company. He said, well, listen, don't shout at me. I'm just a driver. He says, hello, just take all this back. All I went round for was for a quote. What are you doing? And he made him put it back on. And he went and he says, I'm coming with you. And he went back to the office of this company. And he starts screaming and shouting. And he says, what on earth is this? Well, you delivering me stuff. I said, made it very clear. All I wanted was a quote. I didn't ask you to deliver all this stuff. And to cut a long story short, he went into the top manager's office. And the manager says to him, calm down. Relax. All this stuff has been paid for. So he starts shouting again. He says, I know these tricks. You say it's paid for. And then you're going to say, really, it's not paid for. And I'm going to get a massive bill. I don't want it. So the manager told him, he says, listen, it doesn't say shilam ta, you paid for it. It says shulam, it's been paid for. So he says, what do you mean? He said, I am a son. Do you remember about 18 years ago, you did a job for my mother? And you should know, he says, the Iriya, he uses the same line, he says, the Iriya doesn't want empty plots of land, and the Iriya wants it built up, so the Iriya are paying, and really obviously not, but he was being able to finally, he said, I've been looking for a way for 18 years to be able to pay you back for the wonderful chesed that you did for my mother. And today, Baruch Hashem, don't worry, you have all the stuff, and it's taka being paid for. There again, we see someone does a mitzvah, you might not see the brocha immediately straight away, but re'ei, see, we have to be ma'amin that re'ei, that brocha, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures and promises us, it will come. Now I'd like to move on, and then Mezrachem will come back to this re'ei, I'd like to move on in the sedra to a very interesting parsha in our sedra about Eved Ivri. The Torah says later on in Parshas Re'ei, in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Beis, Ki Yimoche Lecho Achicha Ivriya Ivriya Va'avodcha Sheishonim. Someone is sold, and Rashi tells us that we're talking here about an Eved Ivriya Yid who stole, and he didn't have any money to pay back, so based in Selim, but he sell him as an Eved, and he has to work for Sheish Shonim for 6 years, of Ashon HaShviyas, and in the seventh year he goes free. And Rashi straight away says, what's going on here? We've already had this whole parasha in Parasha Mishpotim, so why is the whole parasha, why is it all repeated here? So Rashi tells us, because there are two dinim here, which are new, which apply to Eved Ivri, but they were never mentioned in Parashat Mishpatim. And what are they? Says Rashi. One of them is that an Ivriyah, a maid servant as well, she is also Teitse B'Sheish. After 6 years, she can also, we only mention Mishpatim that an Eved, a man, goes out after 6 years, but we never mentioned about a woman. And Rashi says we're talking about really a woman who steals, basically would never sell a woman who's stolen. So we're talking about here, her father sold his katana, his under 12 girl, his girl who was under 12 years old. And the halacha is that if 6 years comes before she brings simonim, then she also goes out free, just like an eved who would also go out after sheishanim. That's one new din here. And the second new thing, which I'd like to go into a little bit, is Ha'aneik Ta'aneik Loi. The Torah is Mechadash here, that when an Eved or an Ivriyah, when she goes out, whether it's Simonim, whether it's Sheishonim, whether it's Yovel after 50 years, you have to give them a sort of a grant. A Hanoko, Torah calls it Ha'aneik Ta'aneik Loi. You have to give a package when they go out. You don't send them empty handed. The Torah says, Harnik Tanik Loi Mitzainacha, from your flock, umigarnacha, from your grain from your stalk, from your house where you thresh your grain, umikvecha, from your wine, asheberacha, ashemelekecha, titen loi. And you should give this, and the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us and explains to us what exactly this grant is and how much you have to give. And as usual, there's a big machlekas about it. Rameh says, you have to give chomesh sloim, 5 sloim from each min. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to give shloshim sloim, 30 sloim. And Rabbi Shimon holds, you have to give a value of 50 sloim of each type of thing you've got, you have to give. And the Gemara says that although the Torah mentions only these 3 things, tzoyincha, your flock, gornecha, your produce, umikvecha, and your wine, but really, You have to give from everything you've got. The only 2 exceptions, says the Gemara, you don't have to give me kaspecha, from your money you don't need to give. And you also don't need to give from praedus, mules, and the Gemara goes into why you don't need to give those 2 things. But otherwise, you have to give for across the board, from all the brocha that you've got while you've had this eved, he has to get a grant from each of these different things that you have. And the Gemara brings a very interesting, then, Kiddushin, Yud Zayinon, basically, the Gemara brings a fascinating brisa. Because the Torah tells the Hanik Tanik Loim, Mitzoyincha, Mikonach, Mikvecha, Ashebeiracha, Hashem Elekecha. From what Hashem has benched you with. So the Tanoim go into, well, what happens if Hashem didn't bench you with? What happens if business went bad when you had the Eved? If business was booming, we understand. But if it didn't go so well, perhaps you only need to give if Asheberach Hashem Elekecha, then you have to give. So the Tanakhama says no. The Tanakhama says, because the Torah says a double loshon, this one I want to go into a bit. The Torah doesn't just say give a grant, the Torah uses a double loshon. Hanik, Tanik. sort of you shall surely give. Says the Tanakhama, the first Tanakh Brisa, whether Hashem has benched you and blessed you and given you loads, of course you have to give these shurim, these amounts, but even if loy baruchu habayis bigloloi, even if you didn't get so much bracha while this Eved was here under your care, Hanek Tanikla, you still have to give him this grant. That's what the Tanakhama holds. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, no, the Torah says you have to give it only if Hashem Beracho Hashem Elekecho, if Hashem, your God blesses you with it, if he benches you with it. So if you've got, then give him, of course, you have to give him the prescribed shiurim, like we said, 5, 30, 50 of each min. But if you didn't get any bracha, no, says the Rebbe Elazar, you don't need to give him anything. Aye, it says, Hanik, Tanik, a double Lashon, you shall surely give. Ibrotoya, Koloshon, Bnei Adam. The Torah speaks like that sometimes. The Torah uses Lashonos of double Lashonos, Hanik, Tanik. But that doesn't mean you still have to, you only need to give him, says Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, only if the house was benched because while the Eved was there and you did very well, then you have to give him the Shurim, otherwise you don't need to give him. Which leads us to a very puzzling Rashi, Mamashi in our part, in this Indian of this Pasha here. The Torah carries on Vazocharto, after it says this Hanukkah, the very next Pasuk. Vazocharto, and you should remember, Ki Eved Hoyisa Be'eretz Mitzrayim, you were an Eved Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Vayiftecho Hashem Elekecho, Hashem was poedi, Hashem redeemed you. That's why you're commanded on this matter today. And Rashi says, it's a fascinating Rashi, but it's a peledik Rashi as well. Rashi says, Vazocharto ki eved oyisa, you should remember that you are eved. And you should, you know what you need to remember? That I gave you two grants when you went out to Mitzrayim. I gave you double. I didn't give you one Hanukkah. I gave you a sort of Hanek Tanek. What was that? Bizas Mitzrayim. When you went out of Mitzrayim, you got loads of gold and silver and clothes, everything. And Bizas Hayom. You also got, when you went by Yamsuf, we got loads. So Hashem said, look at the Lashon. Rashi says, beautiful Lashon. Ve'enakti v'shonisi. I gave you double. Bizas Mitzrayim, Bizas Hayom. Ve'af ato. And you also, Hanek Ushaneiloi. You need to give your Eved one grant. Ushaneiloi. What does that mean? And give him a second time. Now, where on earth we're learning this from? Because it says a double Lashon, Hanek Tanek. And the Chayra, and the Minchas Chinuch asks this question. If you're learning from Hanek Tanek, where does this didn't come from that you have to give double? The Rambam doesn't mention a word about it. And even the Gemara, we just learned the Gemara in Kiddushin, Yud Zayin, and the Gemara says, according to the Tanakhama, why does it say Hanek Tanek a double Lashon? Not to tell you they have to give double, only to tell you that if your house wasn't benched and you didn't do so well in Parnassa in those 6 years, you can't say, well, I'm exempt and I'm not paying any grant. No, you still need to give Hanukkah, Hanek Tanek. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hanek Tanek is just Dibro Toya, Kolosh Me'adam. It doesn't, it's not Machayev you anything. So where in the world, asked the Minchas Chinuch and others, where in the world do you find, where does this din come from? Hanek Ushaneiloi, you've got to give double. That means not only the third, if it's five, it's 10 or 30, 60, 50. Where do you find this? Where does Rashi know this from? The Minchas Chinuch gives a very dochot dikateretz. And I saw that, and I don't want to go too much into this, but I saw by Emes that this Rashi, the Makor of Rashi, is a Sifri. It's not his own. He brings it from a Sifri. And we learned that this is coming from Hanek Tanek. If you look in the Sifri on the words Hanek Tanek has a totally different drasha. He says, Hanek Tanek, afilu me'o pa'amim, even 100 times, which in itself is a whole Indian. What does he mean? What do you mean 100 times? What do you mean give? What does it mean 100 times in the various Mepharshim talk about what the Sifri means about Hanek Tanek? Because the Gemara in Bamatzia, Lamed Aleph, when it brings all the droshas, you know, of double Lashonas and it darshens them, but you won't find Hanek Tanek there. So what does the Sifri mean? The Mepharshim go into that. But what you do see is that this din, the Sifri is not learning from Hanek Tanek. Where he's learning it from, we don't know. Ian, it needs to be looked into further. But at least that answers Rashi, because Rashi's taka just based himself on the Sifri, and we have to explain where the Sifri got it from. Now, the Torah carries on, mamish in this parsha. What happens if the Eved says after 6 years, I want to stay? V'hoya ki yoyim eilecha, this pasuk tazay now. V'hoya ki yoyim eilecha, lo yeitzim miyimach, I'm not going out. Ki ahei v'choya ves beisecha, I like you, my master, ves beisecha in your house. Ki toiv lo yimach. Then, v'lokachta, we know this from Mishpatim, v'lokachta samatzea, you take the awl, A-W-L, awl, a special tool to make holes, and you pierce a hole, v'nosata v'oznoi, you take in his right ear, v'adelas, by the door, v'hoyelecho evet oilam, that means till yovel, v'af la'amosecho ta'asekein, and also to your maidservant you should do this. Rashi says, no, we don't make any holes in a maidservant's ear, but it just, what does it mean? Va'af la'amoscha ta'asekein. It means this din of hanoka, this grant, when she goes out free, just like when the Eved goes out free, we give him a grant, so too when a maidservant goes out, a woman goes out, goes free, she also gets this grant, this hanoka, this hanik that we were talking about. And the Torah says, I usually find this very interesting, lo yikshe ve'inecho. It shouldn't be hard in your eyes. It shouldn't be difficult for you to give this grant. You know why? You really got double from this Eved. So therefore it makes much more than you would have got if you just hired a worker for a schir yoim. If you just hired a worker, that worker would have worked for you in the day. But he wouldn't necessarily have worked for you day and night, like this Eved. Says Rashi, what does it mean? This Eved works day and night. Says, Ma'u avoid, Zeu kiflaim shavoid aschir yoim, says Rashi, Ma'u avoid also balayla, Rabbi Moisele shivcha kananis, says Rachamim, Afilu bar korchoi. That means he has to work for the Odin in a day, and the rabbi can give him a shivcha kananis. That means a goisha woman, the goisha maidservant can be given to this yid, this Eved Ivri, and he has no choice. Bal korcha, even if he doesn't want to, and even if he protests, he's got no choice. He has to marry her. Why? So that the v'havlodos la'odoin, because this odoin, this master, is interested in getting more avodim. He wants the vlodos, he wants the children. Now, for years and years, I've always wondered, what's going on here? The Torah tells us that a rabbi can be moisa loy a shivcha kananis. We're talking about a yid, a eved ivri. He's a yid kechol hadavar. He's got to keep all the mitzvahs. He's got to put tefillin on. He's got to keep Shabbos. He's got to do all the mitzvahs. And why? So he didn't have a true wrong. He stole, and he didn't have any money to pay back. So he has to be sold bad enough as an eved and work for 6 years for such. But now, when he's an eved, he's allowed to marry a goy. And not only that, the on can force him to marry a goy. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kiseitse, we're going to get to it soon, V'lo yeh kodesh, v'bnei Yisrael. There's an issa deraisa to marry a goy. So how in the world, why would the Torah sort of say, he's an eved, you know what, he can just marry a goy. What's going on? And the halacha is that taka only by we only force him by this type of Eved who's sold by Beis Din. What happens? We know there's another type of Eved Ivri. He hasn't got any money, he decides to sell himself. But even there, there's a machlokes rishonim, and some hold that, of course, although the rabbi, the Odin, the master can't force him to marry a goy, but some rishonim hold he's even allowed to. Well, what's going on? Why is he allowed to marry a goy? What happened to the pasuk of Lo Yeh Kodesh b'bnei Yisrael? So I saw that Reb Pinchas Roberts Shlita, in his Sefer Yavak Shetira, he asked this question, and I want to share with you what he says and what he brings down, and it will help us. I don't know if it answers it totally, but it helps us at least understand it a bit better. So for that understanding alone, I think it's g'day. So he says, as I This din, that you make a hole in the ear of a Eved Ivri who decides to stay longer after 6 years, we don't find it anywhere else. That a din, if he wants, he stole, and he couldn't pay back, he sold as an Eved, and he wants to stay longer, we make a hole in his ear. Why? Why do you make a hole in his ear? So that's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Chof Beis, the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, famous Gemara, that ear heard, Aha Sinai, Kili b'nei Yisrael, Avodim, Avodai Heim, that ear heard that you have to be, Hashem said, I took you out of Mitzrayim and you're my Avodim. And you go and you become Avodim, Lavodim, and you go and you take upon yourself another master. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm your master. And this Eved goes and says, I've got someone else as my master, and I'm a shabbat myself to someone else. That's why, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the ear needs to be pierced. And interesting, fascinating Tosas there. I would have thought it's a Balatum. The Tosas there brings a Medrash. He says, what do we use to make a hole in his ear? So it says, Baratseah, you use all. What's the gematria of Maratseya? 400. Says Tosas, B'Shem Nemedrash, Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, where you were Avodim for Arba Me'er Shon of 400 years. And I took you out of Mitzrayim. I took you out from those, saved you from those 400 years to be my servants, and you've got the chutzpah to go and become a servant for someone else. That's why we dafka use a maratzea, which is gematria 400, to make a hole in the Eved's ear, to show him, remind him about this. Oh, says Rav Pinchas Roberts like this, we find many places throughout Shas, we find that the kinyonoi shel adam, the possessions of a person, are mushpa, they're influenced by the kedusha and the level of the owner. What do we mean like this? So the first example is, we all know, the Pasuk says, Vayakom stei Ephraim, when Avraham Avinu purchased the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So it says, Vayakom stei Ephraim. Stei Ephraim stood up. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Tukumo hoysaloi shenis ale. That means because now Avraham Avinu owned this plot of land, the whole piece of land became much more choshev, became much more special. It was mushpa, it was influenced by the owner being Avraham Avinu. Second example, also a famous example, we all know this story, that Chamoyre Shara Pinchas Ben Yoyeh, his ass, what happened? He would refuse to eat tevel. Now what's going on? I mean, the mitzvahs are for people, not for donkeys, not for asses. So the answer is because it was mushpa, it was influenced, because that Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyeh was so great that even his donkey wouldn't eat tevel. And then a third example, which is much more relevant for us. We all know that we buy a new keli, come probably most likely from China. We have to take it to a various mikvois, keli mikvois, and we have to tovel it. Why are we doing that? Why do you tovel it? It's brand new, it's not dirty, it's clean, usually. It comes clean, nice, still. Why are we doing that? The answer is, says, and the Rashba talks it out in Yevamos. The Rashba says that with mamish, it's like a geiros. When it belonged to a goy, it's mushba. It has the tumah from the goy. The goy made it, so it has a tumah, certain uncleanness, certain tumah it has to it. When it's transferred over to the yid, it now, it's like a geiros. It's like born afresh, and now it's going to have the kedusha. So just like a ger needs to be, a goy who becomes a yid needs to tovel, so that we have to, says Rashi, we have to take the keli, and we tovel the keli. It's now, it's a gerish, it's become now it's mushpa, now it's influenced by the kedusha of its owner, of the yid. And that's also what we say, tak in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud Aleph, Chamisha kinyonim kono le HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired five different kinyonim. And one of them is Yisrael, us. Yisrael, Kinyan Echot. Klal Yisrael are one of the Kinyonim of Hashem. Hashem owns us. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, brings the Pasuk. Ad Yavram Cho Hashem Adavar Amzu Koniso. I bought you, Hashem says. I took you out of Mitzrayim, I bought you. You are mine. Now, if we belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've just said that the possessions of a person get a Kedusha, so definitely Allah has come over, come over the possessions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who his Kedusha is Ein Sofis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't imagine how much the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's unlimited. If we belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so obviously, we get part of that Kedusha. And that's Taka Pshat. We have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kedoshim to you, ki kodosh oni. Now we can understand the Pasuk better. What does it mean? Kedoshim to you, you should be holy, ki kodosh oni. So I always wonder what it means. Because Hashem's holy, so we should, so maybe, so I always understood it means we should emulate. We should try and be kodosh, try and get kodosh, because Hashem's kodosh. But not with how we've explained it now, it's much, we can answer much better. You know, Kedoshim to you, but you are Kodesh. You know why? Ki Kodesh Ani. Hashem says, I own you. I'm your owner. And you are my kinyan. You are my possession. Memela, ki Kodesh, because I am Kodesh. So therefore, Kedoshim to you, you're also Kodesh. Now, this Kedusha that we're getting, that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's dependent on how dovuk we are to Hashem. The more dovuk and close we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more mekayim is Torah mitzvahs, then the more kedusha we'll get. If Chas v'Shalom there's a break in that, there's a bechitza between that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then obviously we get less kedusha. Now, this Eved Divri, let's go back to this Eved Divri. We're wondering again, let's go back to our question. Why in the world does the Torah say that this Eved Divri, this Yid, who's a Yid l'chol dovo, that he's allowed to marry a Goyim, a Rabbi Moiseloi Shifcha Kananis Bar Kolchoi? How can that be? Now, this Eved, let's look into it, didn't only just do an Avera here or an Avera there. What did he do? He went and he stole, which caused that he was sold. If he's sold, he's got for himself now another rabbi. That is like the worst thing possible. What? That means he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know what? I'm going to be mashamal myself to this yid. This other yid, I'll do everything for him day and night, as we said before. Day and night, he's going to be mashamal himself to someone else. That is, you can't get such a big hefzik in the Kedusha between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and him. He's like taking someone else and put someone else there in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself. And that, says Rabbeinu Bachai, is why he's not even called the Eved Yisrael. Why is he called the Eved Ivri? Why is he not called Eved Yisrael? He's a Yisrael who's an Eved. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, he's called the Eved Ivri because he's, to a certain extent, he's lost some of that Kedusha. He's put a barrier in between HaKadosh Baruch and himself, as in this master who he's taken on. So Ananech Hanami, we only make a hole in his ear after 6 years. That's the punishment. But really, even in the 6 years, and that could be why, Pinchas Roberts explains, why you only make a hole in the ear after 6 years, really should do it straight away. He can leave in Yisrael, he's gone straight away and become an Eved to someone else. So he says it could be because he stole, it was a bit of an oinus, he needed food for his family, so it was a bit of an oinus that, but now after 6 years, and he says, he could go free, and he says, no, I want to stay. If you want to stay, so then we make a hole in his ear. But really, during the 6 years, he's also got someone else in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself. So therefore he's spoiled that Kedusha, he's made a barrier. Says Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, that could help us understand it to now, that if Kinyone Shel Adam or Mushba, by the person, or by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, we get Kedusha, and if you go and you make a barrier in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yourself, then you lose some of that Kedusha, which could help us understand why, a bit easier to understand why he's allowed to. I don't say he's answered it, but it's a bit easier to understand why the Torah lets him marry a Shifcha Kananis.
Yeah. So he didn't sell himself. So why is that? Well, he can sell himself.
Okay. But he's in now a matzav of where he's got...
He didn't really want this one, did he?
That's true, so we don't pierce his ear yet, but he's still in a matzav. Yeah, because he's totally Meshubba, not someone else, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. True, but that has he got that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now?
No.
You're right, it's maybe not so much, it is his fault because he stole. But
he
but see, is... True, but he's in the matzav now. That is broken. That connection is broken.
Even in the first six years.
In that 6 years, Rabbi can force him to. He can force him to marry this guy, and we're saying he can do that because he's got another master who's in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself. Oh, right. So to end, I want to say like this, and Takei. This connection, let's move it to us and then go back to A&M with the story. Like this. To connect it to us, that was the Eved Ivri. But we all know, we all need to have a Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all need to have a connection. We all don't want to have things in between. Avadim, we're not selling ourselves or letting ourselves be sold as Avadim. But we all, our Avoida is... to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that there shouldn't be any hefzer, there shouldn't be anything in the way, and we know that every Aveira gets in the way and blocks sort of the Kedusha. We want to have a direct connection so that the Kedusha from Hashem, that we can taka be Kedoshim to you, because Ki Kadosh Ani. And that we do as going back to, like I said at the beginning of the Parsha, Re'ei. See, Onoichi Noise Livnechem Hayom Brochu Klolas Abrocha Shetishmu Amitzvos Hashemekechem. If we learn the Torah, we mekayim the mitzvahs. And let me add, we come to Shiurim like start your day the Torah way. That is definitely the way. That's the way forward to be zoicha to va'atam advekim Hashem Elokeichem Chaim Kolchem Hayom. And we have to remember that we will get that brocha. Hashem's promised us that brocha. And even if we don't see that brocha straight away. As we saw in the first two stories, as I told you about my grandfather and the Dunera, how 40 years later they found out the Nisim that happened to them. And as we saw in the story of the plumber who his plot of land, all his building material was paid for. And I want to end with a beautiful story that I saw, which is exactly the same thing we're going to see. Someone was paid back many years later. I saw it actually in the Penina Man, I'll tell you, it brings this week. He brings a beautiful story. Again, in the war, there was a boy... a young boy who was starving. They were living in a Jewish ghetto. Doesn't say where, in one of the Jewish ghettos. And they didn't have a morsel of bread at home. They had nothing. They had some sort of cheder that he used to go to. But he was wondering, he said, I can't learn. I'm starving, hungry, I'm thirsty. His throat was dry, his lips were parched. And his mother cried, I'm so sorry, my dear boy. I haven't got anything for you, but you know what? On your way to Cheder today, go to a neighbor, knock on a neighbor's house, maybe they've got something for you. And that's what he did. He knocked on a neighbor's house, and he stood there, and the woman opened the door, and she says, my little boy, how can I help you? And he says, I want to go to Cheder, I want to learn today, and I can't. I'm starving, hungry, I'm so thirsty. Would you possibly, I know it's hard for you, but would you have anything for me? And she was so moved by the plea of this young boy. She had a cup of coffee, and she had four cookies, it says in the story. Four biscuits. And she says, listen, I want you to be able to learn today. And she gave him the coffee, the drink of coffee, and she gave him the four cookies. And the boy said that he was so happy and he was able to learn, and it gave him a chizuk. This boy survived the war many, many years later. 50 years later, he says, this woman who gave the biscuits was very ill. And she was taken to hospital, and they were decided in the hospital that there's four different operations that she needs. But obviously, that comes at a cost. The cost of having the four operations was close to $1 million. And her children decided, listen, we've got to save our mother. We'll do anything. We have to go ahead with it. And they went ahead with it. And she had the four operations. And Baruch Hashem, the operations were successful. And the children were wondering, $1 million, where are we going to get that from? And when they got the bill, it said paid, and it, what, paid, what? That doctor who did the operations was that boy who got the four cookies and the coffee. And he said, for 50 years, I've been looking for a way to pay back that woman. I've been looking for her and searching for her. How can I pay her back? On that day when I went to Chedah and I was so down and I was so hungry, and she saved me, Baruch Hashem, today I was able to pay her back.